This is CliffCentral.com. Something I can't
have. Oh, yeah. Monday morning, 16th of July. 14 after 7, let's get going. Ben sent me a clip of this dude. It's the British diver, Vern Unsworth, who rescued those kids. You know, the Thai cave boys. And they asked him all about Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and whether or not he thought Elon Musk would be helpful with his submarine. And the guy was pretty much out there. I mean, listen to what he said quickly. This is what he said when he was asked about Elon Musk and the submarine.
What your thoughts on Elon Musk's idea was?
And stick his submarine where it hurts. Just had absolutely no chance of working. He had no conception of what the cave passage was like. The submarine, I believe, was about 5'6" long, rigid, so it wouldn't have gone round corners or round any obstacles. It wouldn't have made the first 50 metres into the cave from the dive start point. Just a PR stunt.
But he went into the cave Tuesday.
And was asked to leave very quickly. And so he should have been.
So what do you make of that?
So he sounds like, yeah, he was a diver. He was the guy on the front lines. He was getting in there. And he definitely painted a certain picture. So Elon, as he does, he took to Twitter.
What did Elon say?
And he cleared some things up. He said he never saw this British expat guy who lives in Thailand at any point when he was in the caves. The only people on the site were the Thai Navy Army guys, who were great. Thai Navy SEAL escorted us in, total opposite of wanting us to leave. He said that he was asked repeatedly to help this whole mission, and he declined several times, as he thought they had it in hand. He only agreed to help when the Thai Navy SEAL died, because the cave pumps weren't operating at the time. So then he designed this mini sub to the specifications of the people asking him and brought a flexible rescue pod just in case. So it's very different to what this guy was saying. Huh. But then Elon just doesn't know when to stop. You know, Gareth, despite you telling him last week when to stop and how to stop, he then goes on to target this British diver saying, how about you make a video of how my submarine wouldn't have worked? And we can call this a day. So he says, you know what? Don't bother showing me the video. This is his actual tweet I'm reading to you right now. You know what? Don't bother showing me the video. We will make one of the mini sub pod going all the way into K5. No problemo. Sorry, pedo guy. You really did ask for it.
Oh, he called him a pedo? Oh.
Why are we escalating things
exactly
to that level?
But that's it. That's what we were saying last week. Elon can't stop. He has to keep going. And he called this guy a pedo.
Yeah, that's pretty hectic.
Money really doesn't buy you class, hey?
Sure. Elon, get off social media, man.
Sorry, pedo guy.
And the more you try to explain yourself, the more it seems odd.
Puppy God, I really liked him.
Until now. This is the first straw.
He's just forcing this issue of the submarine, and it was never going to work. We know. We get what he was trying to do. High five. It's over. You weren't involved. It's okay.
Jeez. Well, I mean, I wonder if that expat British cave diver dude realized he was going to end up having a fight with Iron Man.
And being called a pedo. That's a small accusation. You can call a guy a dick or an arsehole.
It's pretty horrible if you call someone a pedo.
Calling someone a child molester, essentially.
That's not really good. Jesus.
I would sooner be called the C word than being a pedo.
Oh, big time. No, I'd pretty much take anything rather than that.
Anything over a pedo.
Horrible.
Especially when you're looking to save children.
Yes.
That's why you called him that. I'm sure he was like, now people are going to look into this guy's background.
Oh, man.
It's over for him.
Hey, I don't know if you saw this. I saw this over the weekend. I'm not sure if it's publicity, if it's also a PR stunt, or whether it's a real thing. But apparently China is deploying over 60,000 soldiers. I mean, that should scare you. But to fight a battle against pollution. Sure. The soldiers are being called in to help plant 32,400 square miles of forest. That is enough to cover the entire state of South Carolina in the United States. That's a lot of forest that they're planting. So they're doing it to improve air quality, absorb carbon, and fight climate change. A single tree can sequester 48 pounds of carbon a year. Sure. Did you know that? That's up to 1 ton by the time the tree turns 40. So 32,400 square miles, that's a lot of trees, that's a lot of carbon absorbed, that's a lot of change to the environment. China also hopes to increase its level of forest coverage over the next couple of years by 18%. And by 2035, they're going to have all of that achieved. Meanwhile, the United States has increased forest coverage only 3% in the last 25 years. But at least these two monster countries are doing it, right? Mm.
You know, whether we like it or not, we have to start taking more drastic steps towards fighting climate issues. And so if it's deploying soldiers who really they spend time, if they aren't in war training, yeah, they're just sitting around. So actually, I'm all behind this, actually.
And don't you think we should be doing something too? Because we've actually decreased the amount of forest area we have in South Africa, and people are always chopping down trees and burning them in this country. And I mean, for some people, it's just because they don't have an option. There's, you know, there's nothing else for them to use for fuel. But you look at how a lot of South Africa has become quite barren. Mm-hmm. A lot of South Africa is devoid of any kind of greenery. You look at particularly urban environments where people have had to scratch together a subsistence living and have killed trees. Ultimately, there's going to be a cost for all of this. And that cost is going to be climate change, whether in the macro or the micro space. And we've got to figure that out. So obviously, the Chinese, I'm pleased to say, after years of just industrial development,
this is the least they can do.
Yeah, well, sure, but I mean, they're making the right moves now, yeah.
And
might
be they go big or they go home.
They do, so they're going to deploy the army again. Mweletsi Mbeki last week telling us our army, the average age is 42 and they're all overweight. Let's put them to work planting trees. What else are they doing? They're not fighting anybody. We have an army.
What do they do?
They do nothing. They do nothing. Zero. They march badly out of time when the president gets sworn in.
Sure.
Have you seen that? They're always out of time. Have you seen? If you watch the North Korean army or even the French honor guard when they invite someone to the Lycée Palace in France, in Paris, our guys are always out of time. They don't even have a good drill sergeant, let alone a purpose. And it's sheltered employment. We've got all these people in the army who we don't need, clearly.
And do we ever deploy our people to different sectors, like
we've sent them, border patrol? We've sent them very suspiciously to places like the Central African Republic for a reason which we're not entirely sure of even now.
Yeah, you use the word suspicious.
Where they were killed.
Oh, okay.
Yes, trying to defend or protect God knows what, but with very little obvious interest for South Africa there, it's got to be something we question. And then besides that, you also got to ask, who did benefit from us deploying troops into the Central African Republic, even if it was just one small battalion? You don't know.
Mm.
And that happened a couple of years ago, so we've got to be, you know, we've got to be a little bit suspicious about all this stuff. It seems to me that there are questions to ask, and especially around our army. Our army, our Air Force, our Navy, let's see where they're going, what they're doing, and how they're making themselves useful to the people of this country. Because at the moment, I don't see much of a use for them. And we could cut that budget item right out very easily. Thank you very much. There is good news, though, on the economy front. Well, certainly this is what Cyril is hoping will be the beginning of good news. Fresh from securing a commitment of $20 billion from the Gulf, which we know Saudi Arabia is the main contributor there, President Cyril Ramaphosa is saying he's not playing around in his efforts to secure more investment. Fresh from the trip to the Middle East, in an interview with Abu Dhabi following a three-country visit, he said he's going to drive economic growth. Mm. He says economic growth through investment in the private sector is what will grow South Africa's economy. He is serious about it. He says we're not here to play around. In the past, investment promises were not achieved, but he says he will work hard to ensure these commitments are honored. We're going to drive it from our office to make sure that this does become a reality and it's not just words. Both Saudi Arabia and the UAE have expressed optimism to invest in South Africa, with both countries saying South Africa is yet to reach its pure and true potential.
Uncle Cyril.
Uncle Cyril. So there he is.
This is what he's good at.
He's assuring us that he's working hard.
I feel like this is his thing as a businessman. He knows how to work it, and he's going to get us more investments. He must focus on that. I don't know who else is going to do the running of the country, but this is his thing. This is where he shines.
Yeah.
He's fine on that note.
You know?
If we are talking about African leaders here, they are now, you know, leading up to Zimbabwe and certain leaders who are trying to step up. There is an opposition leader in Zimbabwe by the name of Nelson Chamisa.
Yes.
Who is now saying, you know what Zimbabwe's problem is? Zimbabwe is cursed. Uh-oh. That's how he's trying to drum up support.
Witch
for
doctors,
himself.
Huh?
He says being cursed is the only thing, well, not only, but he says being cursed is what is responsible for the nation's poor showing in the likes of international sporting events. So this past Sunday, he spoke and he said, Zimbabwe cannot remain Zimbabwe because it has turned into Zimbabwe ruins. Mm-hmm. He was speaking in front of thousands of supporters and he says the name Zimbabwe is cursed. As you can see, our national soccer team always lose matches. Our cricket team is always defeated. Our volleyball is always defeated. So he says it is time to now rename Zimbabwe. And he also has a solution, by the way.
What's the name?
Great Zimbabwe.
Jesus. You can't call yourself Great Zimbabwe if you're not, and that's not going to help. I love people who think that name changing is going to make things better.
But the mere fact that he believes, yes, being cursed, that's the thing.
Wow.
And, you know, if you just change the name, by changing it to Great Zimbabwe, he also promises to build a $100 billion economy within 10 years and to end chronic cash shortages by adopting the rand if he wins the elections in July.
This is a... It's a real...
Opposition leader.
No, but it's a real... psychological problem. It's called wish thinking. I know, and a lot of people suffer from it, and you've got to look very hard at yourself sometimes and wonder about whether you're wish thinking or not. You know, you wake up in the morning, you're like, today's going to be the best day ever.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, and I'm not saying that you can't be positive and optimistic, don't get me wrong, I like that. Who doesn't, right?
Sure, if we don't have wake Sebastian up in, for that.
If you don't wake up in the morning... If you don't wake up in the morning with some motivation, some reason to get your day going, you're not going to get out of bed and your life's going to be a bit of a mess. But there are people who are very unrealistic about things. Like if you call what is essentially a failed state like Zimbabwe, because it really is, there's no economy to speak of. Mm. They don't have their own currency. They're a disaster. They've been plunged into this revolting state by a regime that over, 25 years since Bob took over, and started with promise, but very quickly deteriorated. This is not a success story, and calling yourself Great Zimbabwe is not going to make any difference. It's pure branding. It's like ABSA rebranding. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
I just find concern in how a person of this stature says something like this.
Well, has he got any stature? He's an opposition politician in Zim.
But
that's
who,
not really stature, is it?
Where's your team? So you guys sat and you were strategizing and you were thinking about how to move the country forward.
No, this is when you've run out of ideas.
Am I thinking too highly of them?
Yeah, you're just desperate. You're like, this is not, you know, like if Serena Williams, after winning... so many Wimbledon tournaments, decides now she's going to full-time, like her sister Venus has gone into clothing. And they sit and they strategize about the name of this clothing brand and all the rest of it. That's a serious discussion because you've got a product that you're launching and it comes off the back of success. If you're trying to launch something off the back of failure, it's not going to happen. No one wants to be associated with that, right? Just give it up, guys.
But my guy, changing a name is not going to lead to $100 billion.
Gets your name in the news, sir. Gets your name in the news.
Plus, all the cleverest Zimbabweans aren't in Zimbabwe anymore. I hate to say it, but I know loads of very, very smart Zimbabweans who live here in South Africa. They live in Europe. They live in America. They live in China. They live in Singapore. And they're making a contribution to the world. They're just not making a contribution to Zimbabwe. This is what happens. If you don't look after the smart people in your society, if you don't make sure that there is an opportunity for them to exercise their productivity in your country, they go somewhere else. You know smart Zimbabweans here.
So many.
You know smart Zimbabweans here. I do too. Way smarter than people that have a South African education.
Uh-huh.
I promise you that. They've got ideas. They've seen the hardest of times in Zim. And they wanted to get out and build a life for themselves somewhere else. So they've done that. And as a result, many of them are doing very well. Do you think they want to go back to that? You think they want to go back to a country where they're going to be fleeced of all of their wealth and all of their money that they've tried to acquire? And in some cases, it's not a huge amount of money, but it's better than they would have got staying there.
Yeah.
You've got to ask, if you are a Zimbabwean who is trying to make it somewhere else in the world, what's attracting you back?
Mm-hmm.
Apart from a sense, this crazy sense that, you know, you're patriotic or you need to give back or any of that stuff. I don't know whether that's enough to get people to risk it all when there's no guarantee they can make it out there. And for Emmerson Mnangagwa and the rest of them, they've got a lot of work to do. And rebranding isn't going to do it. You need to get the fundamentals right. There are a couple of questions that have come in. Ben, do you know that the World Cup in Qatar will take place in December 2022?
Yeah, the entire season is being ruined for it.
That's amazing. They're actually moving it into December.
Well, if you have it in June, July, you'll melt.
It's too hot, right?
So it'll be really awkward if the guy tries to take a penalty, but by the time the whistle blows, he's melted.
So are we going to be watching the World Cup at Christmas time?
Yeah, it'll be November, December.
Oh, wow.
Well, look, we already had crazy rains last night, so...
If you want to know what corruption is, there we go.
Do Qatarians play soccer?
Yeah, five-a-side games.
Who are they, Poppy?
Their mates.
Qatarians.
Yeah, sure, and there is, and again, like, the host nation gets to play. So they'll drum up a team made mostly of,
they'll
like...
They'll pull a Russia.
Well, the thing is, the Russians were at least Russians. These guys will be from all over the world.
They're going to buy players.
They'll be buying players from Africa. They'll be buying players from whatever.
Just in time for 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's...
You probably find Teko Modise will be like the captain of Qatar. Pull at anybody.
Well, he has to pay off his tax.
This is how he's going to do it.
It's going to be a win-win for both of them.
They need all the help they can get, right?
Coaches their team right now. It's someone famous, I think. Their national
Qatar
team.
Yeah, probably. Probably get some figurehead in there.
Yeah.
And they'll probably end up with Sam Allardyce in the end, but they'll probably have someone nice who looks nice and presentable.
Hey, did anybody else watch Vladimir Putin's complete disinterest in the game during the World Cup final yesterday? He didn't want to be there.
While Macron was jumping around.
Oh, and Macron. He didn't want Macron.
Macron
there.
Was jumping up and down and he was hugging everybody and he was so excited. This is the moment of his life. I mean, listen, must be pretty cool to be president when your country's team wins the World Cup. But he was way too excited. And the Croatian president, shame. I felt kind of sorry for her. She was getting drenched in rain.
You know you're in Putin land when it starts raining and there's no chivalry when the umbrellas are pulled out.
Because
they were like, cover Putin. All right, great. And then you can cover Macron because his team just won.
Right.
And, oh, yeah, okay. Now we can get to that lady. I mean, her makeup was running slightly.
Oh, shame. But she's. I like what I read about her, that she paid for that ticket for herself, that she paid for her own accommodation out of her own money, and that she took unpaid leave as president to come and watch her team play. I think that's what leadership is. So I'm not going to knock her at all.
Yeah,
she looked great.
It's one of those countries that if you do step on a line, they'll throw you into the sea. Same as Iceland. Remember the Panama Papers? They all went into the town square and said, you stole money out. And he was like, damn it. Okay. And that's how it worked. Yeah, you get dipshits and blue light brigades driving over homeless people. And all they are is they're the deputy minister of bugger all.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd love to pronounce her name, but yeah.
Okay, don't even try that. All right, we always talk about how in South Africa, we're worried about how people don't know very much. Well, Americans don't know very much too. So Jimmy Kimmel went out and asked people to try and identify just one country, just one on the world map. Just identify one country. How do you think it went?
Oh.
All right, now it's time for something. I don't know if this will be educational, but the president is overseas. He's visiting Belgium, England, Scotland, and then his pal Putin in Finland. It's a big trip with many important ramifications. It's imperative that America has strong relationships with and knowledge about people in other lands. And that responsibility extends to all of us, not just the president. So we came up with a test. The test is very simple. Went out on the street, we asked people who were passing by to name a country on a map. That's it. We had a map, we said, name a country, any country. And here's how that went.
Can you name any country on this map?
Honestly, my geography is so horrible. I can't name anything. Like,
try
nothing.
Naming something.
Is it South Africa?
Nope.
Oh, Jesus. We have the country of Asia.
Nope. That's a continent, and oh, that's oops. Russia.
Oh, damn. I'm silly.
That's okay.
Man, it's been a while since I've been in school.
That's okay. Any country on the map?
Africa.
That's a continent.
Africa.
Yes. Mm. We're a continent, but they name us as a country.
Country. Damn it.
How about a country in Africa?
I know South Africa's over here somewhere.
No, it's,
no, it's
south.
Down here, yeah.
Yeah, it's south.
Oops.
Wow.
But it's in the name. It's in the name. South of Africa. Africa.
Okay, we've really made everybody's job very easy in the world. If we've done one thing, it's by calling ourselves South Africa, we've enabled you to find us fairly quickly on a map. You locate that continent which looks like Africa, and then you go to the south of it. And there can only be one answer, right?
But the problem, I guess, is how does Africa even look in the first place then for these people?
So yeah, I've drawn maps. You've seen me. I can draw a map from memory of what the continents look like. Yeah, and I'm not a genius. There are people who can do that.
These people who can't even name...
They can't find anything.
One country.
No.
I love how he said any country in the world and they all were trying Africa and South Africa.
Well, he went straight for Africa. Then the funny thing was he was pointing at probably Nigeria or Benin or Togo or one of those and going, oh, well, South Africa's here, but that's in the west. He doesn't even know which way south is.
Can you name any country on this map?
Yeah. Africa?
That's a continent.
Oh, oh God.
Can you name any countries in Africa?
God, no. Who knows?
Look, if you're not sure whether something's a continent or a country, just go for Australia, because it's both. Mm. Then you can't lose, right? Just go for Australia. Everything will be all right.
Wow.
Go for the biggest country in the world, Russia. Just go for North Asia, and you can have Russia. Or go for North America, because there are only three countries.
So they
there's
don't
Canada,
even know.
There's America, USA, and then there's Mexico. You can't possibly mess that up, right?
So they aren't even familiar with where their country is?
No. Jeez. No, in fact, they've asked that question.
Like that.
Can you name any country on this map?
Yes. Africa.
That's a continent.
Oh, country.
Greenland or Iceland or something?
That's Alaska. Any country.
None at all.
And on the entire map.
This is so horrible.
Where's America?
I would say this big one, but I'm probably wrong. Okay.
Can you name any country on this map?
Oh my gosh. Shouldn't I be taught this in school?
I would hope so.
South America.
That's a continent.
Oh my God.
How about a country in South America?
Yeah.
Yeah. Honduras is here, somewhere here.
Nope. Can you name any country in Europe?
Is this one Europe?
No.
This one?
No.
Wow.
Can you name a single country in Africa?
Was this Africa?
No, again, that's South America.
Wow.
No idea.
Can you name a country in South America?
Okay, this is South America.
Yes, can you name a country in it?
No, I can't.
Did you go to high school?
Yes.
Did you go to college?
Yeah, that's the sad part. Argentina, Chile, Bolivia, Brazil, Peru,
the kid.
Colombia, Venezuela, Mexico, United States, Canada, Greenland, Iceland, Australia, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea.
Well, they found one smart kid. All the adults they asked, every one of the adults screwed it up. Everyone. And of course, they're trying to make great TV, so they only took the wrong answer ones. But still.
That's frightening.
I think we should have a geography quiz.
Sure.
I'm keen.
Oh,
I think we must draw a little map tomorrow and we'll see what we can do. All right.
Sure.
Well, there's a great map on the wall, though. We've seen
it. That's right. We've got a map.
Wait, do we have to draw it? Because my drawing skills.
Okay. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll make a little video of this and we'll put it up afterwards. Okay. Make a little video. It's all ready to go. You just have to check in later.
I'm good with clouds.
Clouds.
Yeah. Clouds?
Oh, you can name the cirrus, cumulonimbus, stratus.
Now I must draw.
No, you don't have to draw. We'll use the map out there.
Okay.
I'm good with...
But you're good with clouds?
Well, that's the only thing that I really actually paid attention to in geography. It was fascinating. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can understand how some of these people don't know these countries.
Which one is the cumulonimbus?
You see now... You just said you're good with this. The cum...
Which one's the...
Stratosphacus?
Wow, that is not that's
Latin for mile high club. He had the stratosphacus.
How did you even get there?
There's a stratus something cloud, guys. Stratus.
But there's no F-bomb in there.
The stratus, there's stratocumulus and stratonimbus.
You know what? I will prove you guys wrong. Googling as you say. There's
no stratus fuckers.
So how did I get there?
Stratus fuckers. What are you, insane? Are you mad?
You are too much.
Whoopsie.
See how you've got me doubting myself.
All right. So, let's not talk about clouds because I don't know that was on the agenda for this morning. There's lots of other important stuff that we've got to discuss. Stratus. Fuckers. Really.
Guys, it sounded, sometimes the way things sound in my head and how they come out.
See ya.
Two different things.
So embarrassing.
But they made sense for a while.
All right.
So interesting.
I thought there was something very cool that I saw. I don't know, again, whether this is true or not, but... Keanu Reeves was traveling on the subway and some old lady came up and she didn't have a seat, and guess what? He got up and let her sit down. But he was just traveling with everyone else on the subway. Keanu Reeves. Have you ever spotted a celebrity on public transport?
Oh, well, in South Africa.
Well, if they're researching a role, maybe.
No, well, he seems to do this all the time. And he stood up and just, grabbed his bag and he was just traveling like everybody else. Have you ever seen a celebrity in public transport?
Never. No, and we don't even have real celebrities.
And we don't even have real public transport.
Sure.
Double whammy. Everything.
Okay, have you ever
seen a celebrity using a bus or catching the Gautrain? I mean, I catch the Gautrain all the time. I don't think about it twice. I've never seen anyone famous on there.
Nope.
Uber technically doesn't count nowadays.
I did once see a minister and his wife waiting in the queue at the movies like everybody else.
Oh.
Yeah, it was Minister Aziz Pahad once in Pretoria. I saw him standing at the movies in the queue with everybody else waiting for his ticket, and I thought that was cool.
But didn't Minister Aziz even jog around?
No, he never jogged.
Oh, no. Wrong minister in mind, never mind.
That's Uncle Cyril.
But that when occasionally people will see these very famous people doing very ordinary things, it tends to make us feel that they're nicer people, that they're just regular folks. They're not taking advantage of their position or their fame or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
You ever seen any of that?
Bantu Olomisa is everywhere all the time. So he's one of the guys that just doesn't care. And everyone likes him and knows him. So, he'll speak to people in the queue whenever he flies to Mthatha or to the EC.
Right. And he must be doing that flight quite often, right? Yeah, I've seen a couple of sports celebrities and TV, personalities that have been on planes with me. And then they're also just flying economy and doing normal stuff.
Mm.
So that isn't such a weird thing to see.
Politicians without security detail?
Yeah.
I'm surprised by that when I see that often.
It actually happens.
I'm like, wait, you just drove yourself here?
Yeah.
Parked your own car.
Ben, have you ever bumped into any famous people on the golf course?
All the time, yeah.
Who?
I mean, Daryl Cunlan once, Hugh Bladen.
Hugh Bladen?
Yeah,
that's a real celeb.
No, there's loads. I mean, in Johannesburg, let's say, of the World Cup right now, those guys that were on the panel for the World Cup stuff, they were all playing at my home golf course the other day.
Oh.
Yeah, you go to good golf courses, you'll always see celebs.
Okay, let's knock on wood. Can we hope President Obama
Oh, he's definitely
he's
gonna
walking
be
around. He hasn't
got time for golf in this trip.
Well, jogging why, with Cyril.
But that's why I'm asking. Somewhere. I mean, what would you do if you're traveling on the car train, and let's say you're catching it from OR Tambo, and Michelle and Barack are just chilling next to you on the seats. Hi. Are you having a good trip? This is our first time on the car train.
But I think that,
imagine.
Like nowadays,
wouldn't that be great?
Nowadays, people, they're always on their phones. So
they wouldn't even notice,
you
right?
You could almost become anonymous like this.
I don't know. If I saw Obama on the car train with me, I'd be pretty chuffed. I think it would be quite cool.
Also, there's certain people that you can approach with this stuff. There's certain people that you're not going to be like, hey, can I have a selfie? And Obama's one of the people that you could actually, he would probably make a whole Instagram video with you.
See, but Obama I'd invite for dinner. And I feel like I'd be one of those cute little kids who goes viral because Obama said yes to coming to my house for dinner. Right,
this is where we go back into the world of wish thinking.
I'm like, huh?
This is the wish thinking that the great Zimbabwe
selfie.
Dude wants. Yeah, just a selfie, CA. Let's keep it practical. All right, there are a couple of things that that I think are worth looking at too. Have you had some of your Twitter following cleared out?
Yeah,
because Twitter are chopping out trash.
I thought so. I lost about 1,000 followers on Saturday.
Yeah.
Do you know that I've been having sleepless nights? I'm like, what did I say to offend these people?
Oh,
no.
What
did
I do?
It's not you. Twitter are cleaning out.
I like that.
Twitter are clearing out all the crap. They're busy sifting out trolls and nonsense and people who don't really exist. So that's worth having a look.
Ah, that's okay.
So I went down by like 100,000.
Yours?
Jeez.
Some people don't even have.
That's a
lot.
I went down by 100,000. So I had 100,000 bullshit
artists. Did you just say some people don't have 100,000 followers?
Yes.
As in, like, yes, 99% of the world.
True. But to lose that much, how much are you sitting on right now?
Well, that worries me. Like, do I have a special, especially large fake following? I mean, what was that all about?
It's relative.
Well, they aren't exactly saying fake followers. They're just saying people who. What?
No, they're saying that those aren't. Those are robots and
oh, so not just people who spam
women.
Say
and Russian.
Well, judging by your emails,
Russian women asking for followers.
It's Crystal spelled CYR. That's the one. Those are the crystals that guts to go.
I'm interested though, aren't you?
That's
like, who
crazy.
Are these people?
Wow.
Or who are these bots?
Well, it's great. You can clean anything up, whether it be a social media platform or your wardrobe. I'm all for it.
Oh, is that the listen?
So if anybody was wondering, if you saw your Twitter following, if you care about these things dropping, I saw an article on that yesterday, and they were saying, no, Twitter's gone to town in terms of cleaning things up, throwing out the rubbish, clearing out the bad people, you know, etc. So
everyone that follows you now is legitimate?
I think so.
Okay.
That's the goal. I mean, we can't guarantee it, but they're trying to make sure that everyone follows you now is legit. Yeah, I was quite. I haven't looked at my following, but I went and had a look this morning for the first time because I really don't pay attention, honestly. Could care less. And then it's gone from, I think I'd gone 1.96 million and now I'm at 1.87. So it cleared out like 100,000. Boom, like that overnight. Yeah, but that's all right. If they're fake, I don't want them, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it'll make Twitter worth going back to. I need a reason to go back.
No,
I'm
I
not
think
enjoying
the,
it now.
The bots have been purged, not the dickheads.
Oh, right. So you mean actual people are still a real problem, yeah. Ben?
Ben's still fighting them on his timeline.
Yeah. No, I think I was fighting horrible people, just people with different opinions and ideas.
By the way, can we go back to Trump for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know he's an obsession for a lot of people, but my
it's
God.
Just, if you have a news channel on loop anywhere, it's been the best weekend for it.
Yeah,
shame, guys.
The images. You don't need the sound. Nothing. You just need images.
So let me explain. I'm on this group, this friends group, and there are a lot of people in there with different political opinions. But what I love about it is that everybody feels they can share their opinion, right? So someone posted a whole bunch of these Trump protest posters, and they are hilarious. There was one from Knitters Against Trump. They'd actually knitted a banner, Knitters Against Trump.
That's
brilliant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. And then some people had, well, it is, it's hilarious. I mean, I don't care if you are or aren't against Trump. It's not important, but I love a good protest. And then someone took the Sex Pistols, you know, remember they did a song, God Save the Queen.
Yeah.
And they used that same sort of typeset and everything else. And they did God Save the Queen from the Fascist Tangerine, which
wow.
is hilarious. Right? Then someone else said, this is the best. Tiny hands, tiny heart, huge asshole.
Yeah.
That is funny. Right?
Not giving.
I feel like that's
someone else was carrying one that said, Scotland hated him first. Beat it, you big orange jobby.
Orange jobby.
And someone else saying, we shall overcome.
Oh. That's brilliant.
Isn't that great? So I don't know how the blimp, by the way, the Trump blimp that they were showing, that everybody was talking about for the 2 weeks that we were talking about it, you know, the week that we were away in England, everybody was excited. There's this massive Trump blimp. Well, did you see how small the damn thing was?
It was
tiny.
As big as we thought.
I thought it was going to be Goodyear blimp size. It was tiny.
Like form a little eclipse when it's in the sky.
Sort of made me feel like when Sean Spicer said that Trump had attracted the hugest crowds for his inauguration. And then that ended up being bullshit.
Yeah.
Same for this blimp. It's just bullshit. It was small and horrible. And I did see the actual Trump protesters. And wow, what a freak show. I think I posted a picture of it on Instagram and just said, if these are the people who are anti-Trump, maybe it's worth reassessing whether it's a good idea to be a pro-Trumper. Because there's some pretty mad looking people there. They do not look like sane, happy people.
But also, when you see small children holding these placards, they don't really have a say, do they? Their parents have forced them to it.
Yeah.
But I will say, A for effort for this one kid, taking the poo emoji and put Trump's hairstyle on the poo emoji. That is just beautiful.
That's so creative.
I don't care where you stand in this world. That is creativity
there. That is lovely. All right, I like it. Okay, so what else is in the news? Anything you guys want to throw in before we wrap it up for this morning?
Well, Gareth, today we've got a very long interview.
We do, actually.
I listen, Sia. Yeah. I care.
No, we do.
Jeez.
No, we do, because we're replaying an interview with a brilliant, brilliant man called Peter Boghossian, who's an American philosopher and an intellectual and an academic. And he argues that the world might be better without religion. He's an American atheist advocate. He's an assistant professor of philosophy at Portland State University, and his primary research areas are critical thinking, philosophy of education, and moral reasoning. So if you want to have your beliefs tested, that's what we're going to do next. Let's wrap it up with the unnews for this morning and get cracking. Got a busy day ahead? Who's busy today?
I've got to get a new laptop charger. So excited about that.
Oh, that's very important. Okay.
Very important.
So that's going to take up most of your morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, just money. What's money?
Yeah.
What is money?
What do they cost these days, a new laptop charger?
A
it's
lot.
Expensive, right?
Yeah. It's about $2,000 at least.
Yo!
Nice.
Jim.
All right, here's the unnews. Elon Musk is fighting people on Twitter again. This time, one of the divers from the Thai cave rescue mission in defense of his tiny submarine that was deemed unnecessary. He called one of the divers a pedo. Yep. Directly after this altercation, the Vatican sent Musk an email saying they will gladly use his submarine to find young boys in other remote parts of the world. He just needs to let them know how to operate it. Donald Trump has finally issued a statement around the baby blimp resembling him in London. He said British people in general clearly have small penises if they think something that small could draw a crowd. You're such losers. And the Proteas had a great weekend. Not in actual playing terms, that is. They were rolled out by Sri Lanka in 3 days, but in the process they got to watch all the Super Rugby matches, the World Cup final, and Wimbledon. With less on the go this week, they may actually put up a decent show in the second test and stay out there against the spinners. Let's see. That's it from us for this morning. Peter Boghossian next, cliffcentral.com. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is cliffcentral.com.